All right, so good morning. We're going to get started. It's good to see you all here this morning. Glad you can be here. Glad for those who are able to join us online as well. It's a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. Hope everybody had a good week last week. And again, look forward to a new week again that the Lord has blessed us with. We're thankful for that. Before we get started in our worship service this morning, I just have a few announcements, just those we need to be mindful of. I think, again, we all know that many of us, we just need to be praying for each other. There's just a lot of worry and concern out there, so just be mindful of everybody and keep everybody in our prayers. But specifically, I know there were a lot of texts that went out this week for various ones that are dealing with some issues, so all those, keep those in our minds and our thoughts and our prayers. Especially Sister Marcella, she was put on hospice here late last week. So let's keep Marcella and Don in our prayers for sure. Also, we got some messages this week from Carla that there were some health concerns in her family. So just keep Carla and her family in her prayers. Also, a message went out yesterday about Gwen and her family, and Alexis losing her baby. So let's keep Alexis and Gwen and that family in our prayers as well. Also, Pam had called Jennifer early last week, and they had a good conversation, just a lot of the things that are going on in Pam's family. So let's keep Pam and her family in our prayers as well. And then also here, pretty recent, Amy Stafford was admitted to the hospital. She had some health issues. They need to do a lot of tests. Several of those tests, they did some tests on her heart and on her lungs. The last report we got, all those tests turned out fine. So all that looked well. She has some other tests that need some results to come back with as well. And they're also doing a COVID test just to make sure that's not the issue. And they're still awaiting some results for that. So they all made the decision to stay in today just to make sure of things. So we have a lot to keep in our minds, keep our thoughts and prayers. And of course, there are so many others that we miss week to week, those that are staying in for health concerns or for whatever the reasons may be, just trying to stay safe and stay healthy. So let's just keep all of us in our prayers as we're just trying to get through these times. Again, it's good to see you all here this morning, and again, those that are joining us online as well. Before we get started in our worship service this morning, if you would bow with me for a prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful that we can be here, be together, that we can lift up our thoughts and our voices as we come to study from your word and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for those that can join us by other means as well. We're thankful for the technology that allows that, that we can reach more people that aren't able to be here. So thankful for that. Help us to come to you in worship as we focus our thoughts and in our minds and give our whole hearts to this service, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us today, that are struggling with sicknesses either of themselves or those in their family, dear Lord. Please be with all of them and give them strength, give them encouragement, and give them their health, dear Lord. Specifically today, we ask for your hands on Sister Marcella. Please be with her, give her comfort, give her strength through this trying time, dear Lord. And please be with Brother Don as he tends to her. Please give them both encouragement and strength during this time. Also be with Sister Carla, as there's some sickness in her family, and she deals with a lot of things, dear Lord. But please be with her and give her strength, and give her good health, and please be with that family, that their health may be improved as well. Please be with Sister Gwen, as her family is going through a trying time right now. She does so much for that family. She does so much for our family here as well. She's such an encouragement. Please give her encouragement that comes from you, dear Lord, and give her strength to be with her, be with Alexis, as this is a sorrowful time for her and the family right now, but please be with them and give them encouragement and strength. Also, please be with Sister Pam, as her family is going through a very trying time right now. There's a lot of, a lot of worry and a lot of fear. And please be with them and give them strength and help her to be a good encouragement for her family as well, dear Lord. But again, please be with them and give them strength. And also, please be with Sister Amy as the doctors continue to run tests on her. Help her to be okay, dear Lord. Help everything to check out okay. Help her to recover and to give her strength that she can come home soon. And please be with her family as well. Help them all to be healthy and no issues there also. And help everything to be okay, dear Lord. But thank you for the good results that she's had from the tests that have come back already. So we're thankful for that. And also please be with Sister Diane as she continues to go through tests and procedures and give her strength. It's good to see her here today. But continue to be with her and give her strength and give her good results as well. Always help us to be mindful of all of our loved ones that are struggling at this time, dear Lord. And help us all and give us all encouragement and help us all not to bow down to the fears that are all around us and the anxieties. And help us to look to you, our Heavenly Father, dear Lord, for strength and encouragement. We know that you are there for us and your hand is on all things. Again, help us to come to you in worship in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. Help us to focus our minds on the things that will be sung here today and taught. And help us to focus our thoughts as we partake of the Lord's Supper a little bit later. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning to those who are joining us via social media. I made a couple comments before services started this morning. How it usually takes probably the entirety of winter before I actually get used to it being cold outside. It's a cold morning, although a beautiful morning, perfect morning to worship our God, and as we mentioned, in spirit and truth. And I selected I Will Wake the Dawn with Praises as the first song this morning. Been a while since I've led this one, but I think I remember the melody and how it goes, so everyone here could help me out, and we'll go from there. Let's sing out loud. Dawn and sunset, fierce and joyful, each reflect his mighty ways with the sky. Excuse me, let's start all over. Sorry about that. Appreciate it. Dawn and sunset, fierce and joyful, each reflect his mighty ways. With the sea and sky before me, I will give him all my praise. Abroad, I will worship him forever. He, my Lord, my only God. Stars will joy in praises from me. Yes, her light will know my voice when I give my God. Praises to him still.
its name abroad. I will worship him forever. He, my Lord, my only God.
Amen. Still saying in the same songbook, I've selected song number 4, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, one of my personal favorites. We'll sing all 3 verses, and then Brother Bobby will have or present the lesson that he has prepared for us this morning. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the enemy, our power of darkness, comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Brother Bobby.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. The ones that are here worshiping with us in the building, we're glad that you're here. Those who've joined in by live stream and on the electronic system, we're glad that you're here. I know that we have people watching and worshiping with us, not just in the state of Illinois, but in other states as well. And we're glad that you join us and worship with us in the each Sunday morning as we come together to worship God. The last 2 Sundays, we've been talking about from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we've been talking about the early people, the people back in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Solomon and David and all these people. And we have no problem of thinking about God being with Abraham when he told Abraham to leave his father's house and go into a land that he would show him. And he sojourned in the land that would afterward be the land of promise. And we don't have any problem with thinking about God being with Abraham or with Isaac or Jacob or with Moses or David. But when it comes to our day, then it seems as though we think God just shuts down or he cuts off, that he's no longer there. But today we want to talk about our day and God being in our day, not in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this lesson, we want to see God in our day and how he does with us and lives with us. And we know that he not only knows what we do, but he knows what we think about doing. So it's kind of scary to think about God in our day and how that he is still the same God today that he was in Abraham's day, that he was in Isaac's day. He's still just as much alive. He's still just as powerful today. He's still taking care of man today just like he did then. And we need to talk about that in our lesson today. Matter of fact, I want to go back to the very beginning as far as we're concerned. We go back to the to our mother's womb. And I want to suggest to you that God is with us even in our mother's womb. As a matter of fact, before we get through with this point, we'll see that he's with us even before we're conceived, as far as that goes. In Isaiah chapter 42, and down at verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob," he says, "my servant, nor Jezreel, whom I have chosen." And then in verse 24 of that same chapter, it says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb." Now, both of these passages that we've talked about talks about God forming us from the womb. So while we're in our mother's womb, God is with us, helping to form us there in the mother's womb. Now, somebody wants to know, well, when does a fetus become a human being? Well, from what we're saying here, even before some were conceived, God knew them, knew what their name was going to be, knew what they were going to do, and the kind of person that they were going to be. And saw also in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 5, he says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, and bring Jacob again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, he shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, my God, and God shall be my strength." And in verse 49, chapter 49 and verse 1, it says, "Listen, Israel, unto me, and hear, hearken unto ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb." Now here we talk from all of these passages that we talk about, it's talking about the God knowing the people from the womb. And so while babies are still in the mother's womb, God knows them. He's forming them. He's helping them, developing them as to what that they need to be. But if we go back to Luke chapter 1, we're going to see even before this time, we find Zechariah, who was a priest. He was in the temple offering sacrifice. He was burning incense. And all of a sudden, at the right side of the altar of incense, there was an angel standing there. And of course, he was afraid because the angel was standing there. But the angel told him not to be afraid because he had come to let him know that his prayers had been heard and that his wife, Elizabeth, would conceive and bring forth a son, and that they would call his name John. And he went on to tell him what all it would be. He talked about how that he would not drink any strong drink or anything of that nature, that he would be a Nazarite or a Nazarene from the mother's womb, and that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Went on to talk about that he would be one that would make ready the way for the Lord, that he would go forth in the spirit of Elijah. So here was even before John was conceived. This John was, of course, John the baptizer, or John the Baptist. And he was the one who went before Jesus and made the way ready for him, so that when he came, the people would be ready for him. But in that same chapter, in the same first chapter of the book of Luke, down toward the middle of that chapter, that same angel Gabriel was told to go to Galilee, to a city of Nazareth. And he was to go to a young woman, a young virgin, and to tell her that she'd been highly favored of the Lord, and that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and that he would be called Jesus. Well, this virgin, she said, "Well, how can this be? Because I have had no dealings with a man." And so he said that nothing was impossible with the Lord, and that she would conceive, she would bring forth a son, she would wrap him in swaddling clothes and lay him in the manger. And so this was what happened. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, in John chapter 3, and along the first few verses of that chapter, you remember Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he asked him what to do in order that he might have eternal life. And Jesus told him he'd have to be born again. And Nicodemus said, "How can that be? How can a man, a full-grown man, enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said that in the sixth verse, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And he told him that he'd have to be born of water and of the Spirit, which was to be baptized in order to be saved. And so he says here that that which is born to flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Another thing that's said in the book of John in chapter 16 and verse 21, it says, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. So here is a miracle indeed when a child is born into the world. God forms that child in the womb. God looks after that child. And then we hear of thousands and thousands of these children that God is forming in the womb being aborted year after year. And we wonder how that people can think that they're doing right by doing those things. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So Moses was the one that God raised up to deliver his people out of the land of Egypt. So he knew what Moses was going to do before Moses was ever conceived, before Moses ever came on the scene. And I say to you that God knows us even before we ever exit the mother's womb. While we're still in the mother's womb, God knows us and is with us from the very beginning. Now, we said earlier that God was in the very beginning in the creation and created all things. But as far as we're concerned in our day, God is with us even from the time that we're conceived. Another thing I want to suggest is as we grow to maturity, that God is there with us as we grow to maturity. Now, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, I want to begin reading in verse 1 and notice there but the first few verses in Ephesians 6 and beginning with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so God is with us then as we grow to maturity. And he gives us rules to go by, and the rules is the rules of our parents. Now you remember in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem and they took Jesus with him, and he was 12 years old. And when they left from there, they thought he was with them in the crowd, but they went a day's journey and found he was not. And they went back looking for him and found him in the temple. And he was both asking and answering questions, and they were amazed at his knowledge. And so the mother asked him, said, why have you done this? Said, your father and I have anxiously sought you. And he said, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And then it said of him that he went home with them and was subject to his parents, and that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so we as children then are to be in subjection to our parents and realize that there are rules that are there. I'm going to tell you a reason why that you need to be in subjection to your parents. In the fourth verse of that sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. God has given our parents the responsibility of training us and bringing us up in the way that we ought to. Children are a gift from God. It's like they belong to God, but God gives them to us and hands them to us and puts them in our hand and say, here, now you train and bring this child up in the way that he should go. And so we have a responsibility then, and the main responsibility is upon the fathers. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the teaching, and the King James Version would say the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so we have the responsibility there, and God is with us then as we're growing up, while we're maturing. He wants us to learn the things that are right, where we can follow him in the way that we ought to. He's there with us at our baptism also. Now, if you'll turn to the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, I want to do kind of a long reading here in Acts chapter 8, and it's not a new reading. It's one that you know, and some of the verses I'm sure you could quote. But you remember the first part of Acts chapter 8 that Philip went down into Samaria, and he began to teach the gospel there in Samaria, and there had been one there that was a sorcerer who had led the people. Simon was his name, and they thought he was some kind of a person from God. But whenever Philip came and started to preach the gospel, they could see the difference. And he baptized both men and women there in the land of Samaria as he taught the gospel unto them. But down about verse 26 in chapter 8, I want us to notice now, it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the under great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who was had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guide me? And he asked Philip to come up into the and to sit with him. And the place in the scriptures which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers was silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at that scripture and preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now here we have a man who had been to worship, had driven several miles in a cart or a chariot to worship in Jerusalem. He was returning home. He did not understand what he was reading. He was reading the scripture as he was riding back, but he didn't understand it. But he wanted to know what it meant. He was interested in the truth. And God saw that there was someone that met him that could teach him the truth, that he might know the gospel of Christ. So I say to you that God is with us when we're baptized. If we're seeking the truth, I think he's going to see to it that we come in contact with somebody who can teach us the truth. And of course, we know several people that are examples of that very thing, that God is looking over us. Jesus is looking over us. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that a person is seeking the truth will find that truth. He is there when we choose a companion and get married. Whenever we start to choose a companion, God is there with us. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable unto him. Now you remember how that God had brought all the animals and all this creation before Adam for him to name. And he had named each one of them. But in all of this creation, there was not a helper that was found that was comparable to man. And so God said, this is not right. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. And he made... He took a rib from the side of Adam, and then he made a helper for him and brought the helper to him. And he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because this is where creation comes from. God was interested in man choosing the right person for a helper. Now, how do we know that? Well, if you go back to the book of Numbers, you'll find that God had said that the Israelites were not to marry people outside of Israel. They were not to marry people from the strange lands, because they worshipped idol gods. And if the men married women that worshipped idol gods, then more than likely some of them are going to be pulled away to worship idols. And if the women married men that worshipped idols, then they would be pulled away. You remember what happened to Solomon? Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and yet some of his foreign wives drew him away into idolatry. And so God knew that this might happen if that was the case. As a matter of fact, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, down about verses 26 and 7, you'll see that God forbid some of them to marry even out of their own tribe, because the inheritance that God had given to each tribe of Israel. He didn't want that marred, and so if they married out into another tribe, then it might mar the inheritance that God had given unto them. And so God was real strict then in the ones that they married, and he wants us to marry somebody that can help us to be a Christian, somebody that can help us to go to heaven, and that's very important. And I don't know of anything I prayed more about when I was a young man than I did that God would help me to choose the right one to be a helper for me, to help me to go to heaven, to be the right one to be the mother of my children, and that we might could live together and be an example for others to follow. And I think he heard my prayer. But in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13 and verse 4, God said, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And we know that is true. In Matthew chapter 19, there was some of the Pharisees that came to Jesus and asked him about divorce and whether it was right to divorce your companion. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, down at verse 4, I'm going to begin reading and read three or four verses there. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read, He that made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, Well, why did Moses then command give her a certificate of divorce and put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you," this is Jesus talking now, "I say to you that whosoever divorces his wife except it be for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Now that's Jesus' rules that he set, just as simple as it can be. And God is there with us when we choose a companion, and he wants us to choose a companion that can help us to be what we ought to be, that we can be true and that we can be righteous before God and serve him in the way that we ought to serve him. But I suggest to you that Jesus is there with us while we're trying to be a Christian and live the Christian life. Sometimes we make the statement, well, I don't know if I could live a Christian life or not. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So God helps us. He will not allow Satan to tempt us above what we're able to bear. And he will also make that way of escape there for us if we're looking for it. But the problem is sometimes we don't want that way of escape. We want to dabble in sin instead of being out of sin. So when Satan tempts us, if we want to resist that temptation, God makes it possible for us to do that. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, and verse 20, down at the right at the end of that verse, he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. So Jesus is there with us. God is there, not going to let us be tempted above that which we're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Well, suppose we do make a mistake. Well, I suggest to you that God is there with us even when we make mistakes and when we sin against him. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And in John chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So God is there with us when we make mistakes. And he knew that we'd make mistakes. And he wrote the scriptures that we would not sin. But if we do, then we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so he's there with us if we make mistakes. And we can make those mistakes right. We can repent of those and pray to God, and he will forgive us of those mistakes. But I say to you that he's there with us when we die. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And so we know that that man is going to die. This is a part of life. It's just as much a part of us as life is. And I want us to turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. In the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon, being the writer, I suppose, of the book of Ecclesiastes, said in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them." And then he goes on down a little bit later in the chapter, in verses 3, 4, and 5, and he starts to describe things that happen to us as we get older to let us know that our body is wearing out, that this crown of dust that we have, or this body of dust, is going back to the dust from which it came. Now notice what he says in verse 3. "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble," the house that he's referring to there is our bodies. And what are the keepers of the bodies? It's the hands, isn't it? And they begin to tremble. How many times do you see people that their hands begin to tremble as they get older? Sometimes you see somebody start to pick up a cup of coffee and they just about spill it before they get it to the mouth. Or maybe a fork of food and it about drops off before you get it to the mouth. And so this is one of the signs that of aging that shows that our bodies are wearing out. The strong men bow down. Our backs begin to bow. You know, at one time we're strong and healthy and we could fight an ox. But then we get older and we get to the point where it's all we can do to get around, and we're humped a little bit in our backs because of the hard work that we may have done through the years. And that shows that we're getting older. The grinders cease because they're few. What is that? How many of you have false teeth or have teeth missing? Those grinders are few because we begin to lose our teeth. I've got several that's missing from my mouth. The grinders cease because they're few. Those that look out of the windows grow dim. What about contacts and glasses and so forth? As our eyes get to the point where they're not what they once were, and it's hard for us to see. The doors are shut in the street, and the sound of the grinder, the sound of the grinding, is low. Our ears. How many times do we have? How many of us have hearing aids and get to the point where we need those hearing aids? I have mine. I don't have them in today, but I have hearing aids because I don't hear as well as I used to, and that's a sign of our getting old. When rise up at the sound of a bird, you know, we get to the point where we don't sleep as well as we did, and the least little noise will awake us. And all the daughters of music are brought low. And it says also they are afraid of heights. Terror is in the way. The almond tree blossoms. Our hair turns gray. We may have one time had beautiful color hair, maybe black as jet, but then all of a sudden it's white as snow. And so the hair begins to change colors. The grasshopper is a burden. You know, the least little thing is a burden to us anymore. And it kind of aggravates me sometimes when it seems like it's a burden to me even to walk, because my balance is not what it used to be. And I don't like that. I'd like to get around like I used to. But it's kind of like Carla said, you're not 25 anymore. No, I'm not. And I have to realize that that's one of the signs of growing old and showing that our bodies are going back. And you notice what he says here. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. What is it? Well, at death, we go back to the dust, our bodies dust. And I want to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read a few verses from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll begin down at about the 50th verse and read a few verses there. Matter of fact, read down through the rest of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so God is with us then when we die. And we realize that this is a part that we understand, that we're not going to live forever, that we pass on from this life. And another thing that I have thought about, I didn't have on my list, that God is with us when we hurt. God is with us when we're sick. God is with us when we lose someone that means a lot to us. And he is there to help us in those times. We know that's true. Jesus had feelings because, you remember, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. He went into the city of Nain, and there was a burial party that was going out, a young man that was about to be buried, and he was the only son of a widow, and Jesus healed him and raised him from the dead. So I know that he has feeling for us when we're sick or when we hurt or when we lose someone that's dear to us. But the last point that I have on my list here, he's with us at judgment. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And also Paul said, writing to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And in Matthew chapter 25, and beginning down at verse 31 of that chapter, the judgment scene is pictured. And Jesus sits on the throne at the judgment scene. And he's compared to a shepherd. And he says that all nations are gathered before him. And he begins to divide them just like a shepherd would the sheep from the goats. And he puts the sheep on the right hand and he puts the goats on the left. And he says to the ones on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. And I was a stranger, you took me in. Lord, when did we see you like this? I don't remember seeing you like this. And he said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he turned to the ones on the left-hand side, and he said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was sick, you didn't visit me. I was in prison, you did not come unto me. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Lord, whenever did we see you like this and fail to serve you? Inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And the last verse of that chapter, verse 46, says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So I say to you that God is still just as much alive today as he ever was. He's still the same God today that he was in the day of Abraham, in the day of Moses, in the day of Solomon, in the day of David. God is everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's very much alive and very much active in our lives day after day as we live here upon this earth. We just need to give him more credit and serve him better while here upon this earth. And try every day of our life to be pleasing unto him. You know, it's just like one big family. God is our Father, and we're his children. And so we need to serve him and try to please him daily to where we can be with him after this life is gone. Not only is he our Father, but Jesus Christ is our brother. And so we need to serve them in such a way that heaven can be ours, and when this life is over, that we don't have any worry about where we're going to be. And we can be with God
and live with him in that heavenly city. If you need to obey the gospel, why not do so today? God is here with us today, watching over us. He wants every one of us to be saved, to come to repentance and do what he would have us to do. Won't you do that while we stand and as we sing together?
To linger, charmed by the world's delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free,
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Please be seated. Thank you, Brother Bobby, for another excellent lesson. As we proceed on into our worship service, before we partake of this memorial feast that's been prepared, partaking of the Lord's Supper, we are going to sing the Lord's Supper. Our regular hymn books here, and we'll sing all three verses.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union. Partaking of the bread, precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved, what wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of him, bought us with that matchless treasure. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Divine, all else Christ's love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'd like to follow along, you can open up your Bible to John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 here in just a second. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Just to kind of put things into context as we get ready to read this, we're nearing the end of Jesus' life. Soon, he's going to be captured. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be tried. He's going to be executed on the cross. And he's going to be buried in the tomb. Chapter 13 records a scene there in the upper room. Jesus is gathered there with his apostles. Jesus has been identified as the betrayer and has left the room. They are told to love one another just as Jesus had loved them. In verse 33 of chapter 13, he says that he tells them that he is going away, and where he is going, they cannot come. Peter, of course, is concerned. And he questions where Jesus is going. And even tells Jesus that he would lay down his life for Jesus. Jesus asks him, you sure? Would you lay down your life for me? And then he then foretells that Peter would later deny him three times. The news that Jesus is leaving is troubling to their hearts. In chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He starts out by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Imagine what they've been through. How they gave up all they had to follow Jesus, and how they had been following Jesus, and Jesus had become the centerpiece of their life, and everything that they had seen, all the miracles that they had been witness to. And here Jesus was telling them that he was leaving. How could their hearts not be troubled? But he tells them, believe in God. Believe in Jesus. The answer for a troubled heart is faith in Jesus. So much comfort in these words. Jesus is the object of our faith. To have one's hope in God is to have one's hope squarely on Jesus. Don't believe what you see in the world. We heard this morning, God is not dead. God is active and God is at work in the world. And God is accomplishing his work. Jesus has to go so he can secure the destiny of all who believe him. In verse 2, it said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Verse 2 is a powerful hope. A powerful hope so that our hearts are not troubled as we go through life. Jesus has to die so we could come to him. The cross and the resurrection are the acts of preparation. Jesus has to go so that we can have a place with him. And in addition to providing comfort, in addition to preparing a place, there is also a promise. In verse 3, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Here is the conditional promise that we can put our faith in. If Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, ascending to the Father, then he will come again and take his followers to be with him forever. You pray with me, please. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time that we have to gather around the table this morning. Father, we're thankful for these emblems. The bread, which represents the body that Christ broke on our behalf. The fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that he shed for our behalf. Father, as we gather around the table this morning, let's remember that love that he's shown in going to the cross and the hope that we have in that sacrifice. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Heavenly Father, we come for you once again, Lord. Thank you for the most precious blessing anyone could ever receive, and that was your Son to give his life for us on that cruel cross. Lord, be with us as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood on that cruel cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone?
Sipping our part from the Lord's Supper, we use this as time so that we can all get back a portion of that we've been blessed with. If you will, if you'll bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a great day that you've given us to come together to worship you. Father, we now have a chance to get back that to what you've given to us, Father, and we do so with a cheerful heart, always recognizing that there is need, Father, that there is need for us to use the funds here collected so that we can help build each other up, to edify one another, to have everything we need for our group to meet here and to be able to worship you, Father. In all that we do, we hope we bring glory and honor to your name, and we hope we do so with the giving this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to see everyone today. Just a minute, we'll have our closing word of prayer and our song, but would be remiss if I didn't say it's great to see everybody here this morning. You're an encouragement to me for being here. Appreciate those that are joining us on Facebook Live. Miss you and hope that one day, soon, maybe, we can get past this pandemic and we can all come back together to worship together again. Be mindful of those that are in need of our prayers, because I'll say this and I'll keep saying this, prayer is something that we can all do. We can all do individually when we're by ourselves or even when we're home with our families, but there are those that are in need of prayer. Tim mentioned several of those this morning, so let's remember that we need to be mindful of those, and we can continue to do that. So,
to close out this morning's worship service, Brother Bobby did such an excellent job this morning, really going over how God and the Lord's with us always. And we just have to realize that. And to do that, we have to look to him. So it's kind of cool how these things kind of fall into line. I selected Looking to Thee as the closing song. We'll sing the first verse only, and then we'll have our closing prayer. Looking to Thee from day to day, trusting Thy grace along the way, knowing that Thou wilt safely keep all that is Thine. Sure of thy soul redeeming love, sure of a crown of life above, singing thy praise I press along, Savior divine. Looking to thee, trusting thy grace, I am as happy as a true soldier can be, nearing my home, heavenly place. Trusting thy love, I press along, looking to thee.
Thankful, Father, for each and every one.
we know that. Dear Father, we pray now as we depart this building, go about our daily lives, that you will guide, guard, and keep us safe in our travels and the things that we do each and every day. Dear Lord, we pray that you will bless us with the knowledge to be able to use the blessings that you give us and use them properly in our lives. Continue to ask you, dear Lord, to be with each and every one of our loved ones here at the, and also in our lives, our physical lives, that are ailing in health, going through terrible situations in our health, that we pray, Lord, that you will bless us, each and every one, all of us, with comfort and guidance and care. And we know, dear Lord, that thy will be done, but we also know that all are in your hands. So we ask your favors, dear Lord, and care, as we live our lives here upon earth. Now be with us, care for us, watch over us, and help each and every one of us, dear Lord, with the word that we hear from time to time and the word that we study to make us stronger Christians, to uphold the Lord's work and uphold the church as it is upon the face of this earth. Be with us, guide, guard, and direct us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and amen.
Amen.